Jesus, we praise you for loving us. We praise you for bringing healing. We thank you for bringing forgiveness and cleansing of all unrighteousness for those who confess our sins. And Jesus, we thank you for suffering to take away sins, to pay the punishment that belonged to us. We thank you for rising from the dead. We praise you for restoring creation to the Creator. Thank you for redeeming those of us who are lost. Thank you for being born to save all who call upon your name. And thank you for reigning right now. We would ask that you would reign in our hearts. We know that this world is a spiritual battleground. We know that there is a battle in which we are engaged, and there's a fight for our souls. And Jesus, you have come to help us win that fight. You have already won it, and you've come to help us live in that victory. And I pray that everything that happens from here to the end of this service would be to that end. You would grant us to be able to surrender the stubborn selfishness of our souls and allow the victory that you have already purchased to find a new reality within us. Let all of the good reasons for which you sent Jesus to come, may they become clear in our minds, and let us live according to those truths. Your word is truth. Lord, we are sanctified by your word, we're redeemed by your word, and we're changed by it. Please give us hope and peace with you tonight, and I pray that your words would provide encouragement for our souls. Through Jesus I pray. Amen. That short little video gave about 9 reasons why Jesus came, why he was born, and why he appeared. And I would just add one more to it that we didn't see in the video. One of his closest friends, John, said this about Jesus for why he came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. In John's first letter, chapter 3, verse 8, he says, "The reason the Son of God has appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." This means the meaning of Christmas is the destruction of everything that Satan would intend. Part of the greatest plan of God in sending Jesus to come to this earth is to undo something that Satan was already doing and already active in. And I know maybe it's not cool to think about Satan on Christmas Eve, but I want you to think that he is real in this world, and Jesus has come to completely undo everything that he has done by all that he did in his life. And when John says he came to appear, he appeared to undo the works of the devil. That means all of his life, his holy life, his atoning death, and his powerful resurrection. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Which makes one observation abundantly clear. Jesus came to this world to destroy the works of the devil. It is here that the devil is very active, and so that's why Jesus came, is to undo everything that is problematic in this world, all of the deeds of darkness. And do I really need to convince you that there's darkness in this world? Just read the headlines, look at the news, listen to what's happening in the world, and you know there's deeds of darkness everywhere. And the Bible, this verse tells us, Jesus has come to defeat the works of Satan, to undo it, to destroy it. It's a very powerful word, destroy. So where there is wickedness in this world, Jesus came to undo that. He came to destroy what Satan is doing. So there is something in this world that needs to be destroyed, and Jesus came to do that. So what are the works of the devil? John answers that question. I'm going to read 4 verses and then just think about them for just a few minutes. 1 John 3, 4-5. "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. And you know that he appeared in order to take away sins. And in him there is no sin." That's in Jesus. "So little children..." That's all of us. We're here. Little children love Christmas. We love this. So don't get offended that John's calling you a little child. The Bible tells us you have to be like a little child in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So be at peace if you're hearing these words and you think, I'm not a little child, I'm not stupid. No, it doesn't mean that. It means being simple and understanding, accepting the truth. So little children, let no one deceive you, and there is someone who intends to deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous, as Jesus is righteous. But whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And the reason the Son of God has appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So what's the answer? What's the works of the devil? It's sin. Jesus has come to do away with sin. And these two verses tells us there's two ways that he's done that. And this is what I want you to think about. I pray this is a gift to you. I've been praying this all day that you would receive this news as a gift. There's two ways that Jesus has come. And in his coming, he has destroyed the work of the devil. One is past. The other is present. One is external. It happened apart from you. The other is internal. It happens within you. One is objective. You don't have to believe it for it to be true. The other is subjective. You'll never change, be changed by it unless you believe it's true. So there's two ways Jesus has come. First, it says in verse 5, Jesus has come in order to do away with sins. You know that he appeared, this is 1 John 3, 5, he appeared in order to take away sins. In him, there is no sin. The first way Jesus destroyed the work of the devil is because he came and he never sinned. In him is no sin. Jesus was fully and completely human. He went through a 9-month process of growing before he was born. Some of you in this room are pregnant. You know what that's like and how painful and awful and discomfortable it is. He went through a 9-month period of growing in gestation and reaching maturity in order to be born. He was a little boy. We have information about his life. We followed him all through his years. 33 years Jesus lived as a single man. He faced every temptation that single men face in this world, and he did not sin. The Bible tells us this again and again and again. Jesus destroyed the work of the devil because the work of the devil had no place in his life. None. So Satan came again and again and again to Jesus in order to tempt him, and every time Jesus was able to say, no help wanted. He was able to throw out the sign that says, no help needed. Satan, I don't need you. You have no place to work here. Jesus is the only human being whose life was pure. There was no place for Satan to work in his life. He defeated the work of Satan by never giving in to what Satan would want him to do. Jesus never sinned. And so he defeated his work. That's external, that happened in the past. Whether you believe that or not does not change the truthfulness of it. It happened apart from you. And yet there's another wonderful verse here that says that Jesus' work continues. And when we look at verse 9, we see something amazing, that Jesus not only did his past work, was it effective, but he's still at work. So we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. We must not forget, he didn't stay a baby. He grew. He lived. He taught. He suffered. He died, and he was raised again. That means he's still alive to this day. And the question is, what's he doing? What is he doing? He's working in the lives of his people. Verse 9 says this, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has become, or he has been born of God. Jesus destroys the work of the devil today in our lives by putting the seed of God in those who would call upon him for salvation. There's a verse in Acts that tells us when Jesus ascended into heaven, he received from the Father the promise. What's the promise? It's the Holy Spirit. Long ago, God said, I will make my dwelling with man. I will be with them. They will be my people. I will be their God. We have problems that we worship little gods. We worship other gods. And Jesus has come. He has reigned. And as we look to Him for salvation, He pours His Spirit within us to change us. So the greatest gift that we could ever receive from God is Himself, is His own Spirit. Jesus continues to destroy the works of the devil by giving us, those who call upon Jesus for salvation, the gift of His Spirit. And when He puts His Spirit within us, then we have the power to do the same thing that Jesus did, to say, "No help needed, Satan. No, I do not want you in my life. You have no place of work here." Only through the Spirit of Jesus will we ever be able to avoid a practice of sinning. Otherwise, we're going to be trapped. Verse 9 says, "No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him." When we cry out to Jesus and say, "Would you save me? Would you give me the gift of life? Would you help me overcome all that is trying to destroy me?" And that's what sin does. Sin is death. And so we cry out to Him for help. Jesus says, "Yes, I will give you my Spirit." And then His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. You know this from the book of Acts. The Spirit of Jesus is the Spirit of Jesus. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit. They're the same Spirit. And so when we receive the Spirit of Jesus, He is the Holy Spirit. Then a holy work begins in our lives to give us life, to transform our desires, to change us from loving sin to hating it, to change us from being bored with God to being enthralled with Him. We are transformed, and that's the ongoing work of Jesus in our hearts today. So He continues to destroy the works of the devil by putting His own Spirit in His people and then living out that life that He's called us to live. But there has to be some destroying that happens before we adore. We come tonight to sing wonderful songs, and thank you, James and the worship team, for leading us. But we can't adore Jesus as the Savior of the Son of God unless first the old heart is done away with, unless the stony, dead heart is transformed and changed. And that is the work of the Spirit. God gives us His Spirit. He takes away the deadness, that cold, irreverent heart, and He transforms us into a new person, a new creature. And that's what Jesus came to do. No one ends a pattern of sinning by mere willpower and self-determination. You might go 3 weeks. You might go a couple of months if you're really determined, but it won't last. It won't. Ask anybody who's ever tried to diet at the beginning of a new year. We can try all of our best with our best instinct to do better, to do good. It won't last. Only God's Spirit living within us will enable us to avoid a practice of sinning or a pattern of sinning in our lives. That's the only way we can be transformed. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to give us the right for the Spirit of God to dwell within us and then to live out the goodness of all that that means, all of the peace, all of the joy. So, hear these words. Don't be deceived. When you choose to sin, you are doing the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning." That's incredible. Nobody wants to say, "When I sin, I'm doing the works of the devil." But that's the truth. And so how do we avoid that? The next words, verse 7, "Whoever practices righteousness is righteousness as Jesus is righteous." That's the gift of life. It's the gift of not being enslaved to sin. Jesus came not so we would keep Him in our minds in a manger, impotent and helpless to change us. He came, we celebrate Christmas because it's the beginning of a revolution. It's the beginning of a transformation of our lives. Many of you have experienced that transformation and that change. Many of you have not. Many of you are still in it. And I invite you, call out to this mighty Savior. He's not an impotent baby. He is a destroyer of sin and dominion that would keep you enslaved in life, missing out on hope, missing out on joy. And Jesus has come to say, I can give you a new life if you come to me. Surrender your will and you will be changed from the inside out. That's the goodness of Christmas. That's the things that make me want to sing. And I almost can't contain myself because I know, Jesus, there's many of you who are yet to understand the fullness of all that that means. We've come tonight as a celebration of light. Light shines into dark places and it illuminates. It makes things seen. And some of us need light in our lives. We're creeping around, hiding in dark corners. We're afraid. We're living in darkness. And Jesus comes to say, I will give you light and life. I will come fill you with a new ability to say to Satan, no work here. You cannot work in my life. Jesus came. The reason for Christmas is to see that Satan knows what it's like to be unemployed. No work. May your hearts be that place where Satan has no place to work. You won't do it by willpower. You only do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the only person who ever lived a holy, sinless life. The only way we're ever going to walk in holiness is by allowing His Spirit to work through us, by surrendering our will to His will. That's why He came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. So if this Christmas you're feeling destroyed and embattled and wounded, I know somebody who can take care of all of that. His name is Jesus. He's alive this day. He's risen. He has redeemed a lost world. He forgives those who would come to Him and say, will you please transform me? Will you change me? Will you give me hope and happiness and meaning and life? And the answer is, if you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know the next phrase? You will save you. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. You will be transformed. I would want every one of you in this room to know that and to know the power of a living Savior who says to you, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus has come so that the presence of God can dwell in our lives. He has come so that we could be reunited with the goodness of who God is. That's what the meaning of the word Emmanuel is. God with us. He has come to join us. So that's what we're going to sing. We're going to sing about the goodness of Emmanuel who has come to bring the presence of God with us. I pray you know that in your life. Would you join me and pray now? Father, I ask you, please, let the power of Christ be evident in our lives. Give us joy. Give us happiness. Give us delight. Cause us right now to be able to welcome the light of your Spirit shining in our hearts, pushing out darkness, pushing out despair, pushing out the loneliness and replacing it all with a God who is present with you through your Spirit, who can dwell within us and who is with us always. And Jesus, you made this possible. And I pray if there is someone whose heart is in despair tonight, they would cry out to you this evening and say, Jesus, would you be all of that to me? Would you be Redeemer? Would you be Restorer? Would you be Healer? I'm hurting. I need you to heal me. Would you be my forgiveness? And would you be my redemption? Would you be my joy and light? Would you save me? Through Christ, I pray. Amen.